Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from Parade.com, more precisely, Parade Magazine, February the 1st, 2021, by Jessica Sager. Question number one. Musical artists sometimes get arrested. One even recorded two of their best-selling albums while behind bars. Who was that? Was it A, Jim Morrison of The Doors, B, Johnny Cash, C, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, or D, Willie Nelson? Famous musical artist recorded in prison. Who was that, anyway? And question number two, who was the very first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Was that A, Janis Joplin? Was it B, Diana Ross of the Supremes? Was it C, Aretha Franklin? Or was it D, Madonna? First woman inducted into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who was that, anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of July the 9th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1900 that, quote-unquote, his master's voice was registered with the U.S. Patent Office. The logo of the Victor Recording Company, and later RCA Victor, shows the dog, Nipper, looking into the horn of a gramophone machine. 1900 today. And it was 71 years ago today, 1955, that the Bill Haley and His Comets single, Rock Around the Clock, hit number one on Billboard's pop charts. This was the first time ever a rock and roll recording accomplished this feat. 1955, today.
And in my ears, my eyes wet again, just to think of weary things since we've begun. Count my
Valerie Jones' Colors introduces our country music news. This is from her new album, The Moon and Stars, and it's given 3 out of a possible 4 stars by The Week magazine, 26th of March, 2021. Valerie June is full of surprises, said John Pareles in The New York Times. The 39-year-old singer-songwriter from Tennessee labels her sound organic moonshine roots music, and that sound wanders amid soul, country, folk, and blues. On her latest album, it also nods to hip-hop and Afrobeat and detours into hypnotic meditations set to drum machine loops and even recordings of wind chimes, birdsong, flute, and piano. Through it all, June's lyrics express a quiet hopefulness, and her voice has a wayward twang and a sly finesse. The sudden shifting from big soul ballads to meditative folk can be discombobulating in the moment, but is ultimately a point of strength, said Jeremy Winograd in SlantMagazine.com. New sensations seem to be exploding out of June, almost as fast as she can process them, said the album she calls The Moon and Stars, Prescriptions for Dreamers, is the controlled chaos that results. Though she has bent genres to her own artistic ends before, she has never journeyed as far out or inward. And in classical music news, we have this article written by Suzanne Fowler, New York Times, July the 3rd, 2021. How to keep an opera from bursting at the seams. The head of costuming for the English National Opera shares a few tricks of her trade. London. Many elements need to come together to create an opera that will absorb the attention of an audience, including the costumes. Be they bodices and ball gowns for divas or admiral's uniforms for baritones. As the head of costume for the English National Opera, Sarah Bowron supervises the crew that can swell to 80 people filling roles like costume makers, milliners, dyers, dressers, makeup artists, and wig managers. The company performs in English in the 2,359-seat London Coliseum in the West End. Ms. Bowron, who is now supervising work on a production of HMS Pinafore, set to open in October, is based at the opera's rehearsal space in West Hampstead, in the building where Decca Records auditioned, then rejected, the Beatles back in 1962. The following interview, conducted by email, has been edited and condensed. Describe a typical day. No day is the same. I like to check in on the team first thing. If I am supervising a show, I may be fabric sampling in London, meeting with designers and freelancers. I am always looking at the costume budgets and staffing levels. It's a mixture of creative work and organization. If we are rehearsing on stage, I may spend the evening in the theater taking notes with designers or just being there to support the team. That was, of course, Nessun Dorma playing in the background by Chris Botti. Are you behind the curtain on opening night to make sure everything still fits? Yeah, I am. I like to walk around backstage and check that everything is okay before watching the show. Our dressers stand guard side of stage like costume police to check that everyone is wearing everything properly. We have running wardrobe staff who will maintain the costumes throughout the run, including repairs. Any tricks of the costuming trade you can share? A bit of stretch in some fabrics is very helpful, especially for any dancers in a production. Many fabrics that look like normal silk or wool will now have a percentage of lycra or similar in them. I have found that opera singers are much more physical these days. They are asked to do much more in the performances, so we have to be mindful that the costume will allow them the freedom to move comfortably. We try to get the performer to move as much as possible in the costume fitting so we can deal with any issues before we go on stage, But often we don't discover and solve any real issues until the stage rehearsal period directly before a show opens. Sly and the Family Stones, Hot Fun in the Summertime, introduces our rhythm and blues music news. It's entitled Something for Everyone in Rousing Summer of Soul. This is written by Glenn Whipp, L.A. Times, 2nd of July, 2021. Every boomer era music festival and record album has been mythologized, eulogized, really, euthanized to the point where the mere mention of Woodstock induces me into the kind of catatonic stupor that even Jimi Hendrix's electrifying star-spangled banner couldn't begin to rouse me from. This unrelenting nostalgia makes Amir Questlove Thompson's new documentary, Summer of Soul, all the more astonishing. For 6 weeks in the summer of 1969, the same summer as Woodstock, the Harlem Cultural Festival was headlined by artists including Stevie Wonder, Nina Simone, Sly and the Family Stone, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Mahalia Jackson, and B.B. King. An estimated 300,000 people, mostly black locals, attended the concert, stage and in part, as a way to provide healing, unity, and release a year after Martin Luther King's assassination had convulsed Harlem. The event was filmed to spectacular effect, but, we're told, the footage sat in a basement for 50 years because there was no interest in the black Woodstocks. Nobody ever heard of the Harlem Cultural Festival, says Cyril Bullwhip Innes, Jr., a Black Panther who was part of the security detail at the event. Nobody would believe it happened. Summer of Soul, or When the Revolution Could Not Be Televised, offers glorious proof, showcasing the music, offering a thought-provoking history lesson about the black cultural and political transformation taking place outside the festival, and presenting a rejoinder to anyone still oblivious to the ways that history celebrates certain achievements while roundly ignoring other equally important stories. You may know Thompson as a member of The Roots and as the musical director for The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. If you read his book, Mo Meta Blues, The World According to Questlove, you're aware that he's also inquisitive and a first-rate music geek, making him the perfect person to crate dig through the musical and cultural history documented in this film. His respect and enthusiasm for the material jumps off the screen. Summer of Love won both the Grand Jury Prize and Audience Award at this year's Sundance Film Festival. It's hard to quantify the elation produced at a virtual event, but let's just say it made people happy at a time when we needed a little sunshine in our lives. Musically, there's something for everyone, ranging from Motown hits to the sunny pop soul of the fifth dimension. There are jams from the likes of South African jazz legend Hugh Mescalia, Cuban percussionist Mongo Santa Maria, and Congo drum master Ray Barreto. And there's Mavis Staples thrilling at the chance to sing the hymn Take My Hand, Precious Lord, with gospel great Mahalia Jackson. Jesse Jackson introduced the latter song, recalling it was Martin Luther King's favorite and how the civil rights activist mentioned it moments before he was assassinated. So once again, the film Summer of Soul, Director, Amir Questlove Thompson. Running time, 1 hour 57 minutes. Playing in theaters and on Hulu, July the 2nd.
Sky and the sky feels blue.
The original 1946 recording and leading into the 2021 recording, Madeline Foreman's Don't Take Your Love From Me. The title of the article, a 94-year-old singer reclaims her music career after decades away. Long Branch, New Jersey. This is published in People magazine on the 14th of June, 2021. During a bit of spring cleaning last year, Madeline Foreman uncovered a box of long-forgotten 78 RPM discs she had recorded in 1946 and 1953. The find helped reignite the 94-year-old's love for singing and wowed her family. It's like a lost treasure, says Howard Foreman, Madeline's cousin. She was remarkably good. Posted online, the recording soon received more than 192,000 downloads. And in April, Madeline returned to the studio to record Don't Take Your Love From Me, a song she first performed more than 75 years ago. I sang it when I was a kid, and I sang it now. Isn't that something, she says? I'm smiling all day long.
So that they can't fly, would you take the ocean's roar and leave
me? Pick me up with a smile from my meekness. I'm pretty sweet, but you care about me. Lost in the chaos and confusion. You said it's possible that we can be free. You take my hand and then you sweetly let me move off my feet. Come to the island where we can save our souls.
Crowded Houses to the Island introduces our rock and pop music news. It's a review of Crowded House's new LP, How Carnivals and Fleetwood Mac Influence Dreamers Are Waiting, Neil Finn and Company's first new album in 11 years. This is written by Catherine Terman, published in Entertainment Weekly, July 2021. Fleetwood Mac? After guitarist Lindsey Buckingham was kicked to the curb, Mick Fleetwood and Steve E. Nicks recruited House frontman Finn to tour with the Mac for the group's 2018 tour. That band has redefined itself several times, and yet there's a presence and soulfulness every time it goes out, he says. The experience sparked an idea for a new project. There was just a sudden, hang on a minute, there's a wonderful, soulful way to bring Crowded House back into the fold, so let's just do it. Books and Beached Whales. In 2020, Finn and his wife took a chance on the estate sale of a second-hand shop and purchased hundreds of old books sight unseen. Our biggest delivery was about 30 boxes, he said. Aided by pandemic free time, they went through every volume, dusting each one and discarding anything historically suspect. I got a few lines for some songs from the books, he says, including one about beach whales for the track Deeper Down. Credit longtime Crowded House producer and new full-time member Mitchell Froom for the mysterious Beach Boys Meet Circus midsection of To the Island, a song playing in the background now. There's a strange carnival gene flowing through it, Mitchell says, Finn. On the tour, he'd be warming up with Finn's son and band drummer Elroy, and they'd be playing some kind of carnivalesque music with a bit of funk undertone. Start of Something is from this album as well. The article skips down and ends with this: Elroy and Liam Finn. The unique instrumentation on Dreamers, like the unusual percussion pattern on Love Isn't Hard at All, stems partly from Finn's sons, Elroy and guitarist Liam. Notes Finn, Elroy's got a lot of song he's working on, and I said, have you got anything really upbeat? Because that would be kind of handy for the record and helps us get into it.
It's the start of something precious. The world returning.
And in local music news, we have this headline story. Durham, North Carolina singer-songwriter Reese Palmer's second act gets a big shout-out from June 2021 Rolling Stone magazine.
I'm Reese Palmer, and this is Charles Newkirk, and we are going to play my song, Country Girl. Country Girl was written in 2006. And was my very first single ever, and it is the song that made me the first black woman in 20 years at that point to be on the Billboard country charts. And this song is about not accepting the boxes that people like to put you in, and that it doesn't matter where you're from, it's a state of mind. And so I hope you enjoy. This is for all the country girls and boys out there. Here we go.
So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, who was the musical artist who recorded two of their best-selling albums while behind bars? Was that Jim Morrison, B. Johnny Cash, C. Mick Jagger, or D. Willie Nelson? Correct answer? Answer B, Johnny Cash. As noted by Bobby Moore in a March 2021 issue of WideOpenCountry.com, titled The Legacy of Johnny Cash's Sophomore Prison Album, At San Quentin, in 1969, just 1 year after furthering his proto-punk and outlaw image with famed live album At Folsom Prison, Johnny Cash visited another California correctional facility. His February concert at San Quentin State Prison near San Francisco was filmed by Granada Television from the UK and recorded for the CBS Columbia Records album At San Quentin. While it lacks the emotional impact of Cash singing Folsom Prison Blues to the men serving time at the song's namesake, including young Merle Haggard, At San Quentin remains a career high point, at San Quentin is part of Cash's series of prison albums, including not just the Folsom Prison Concert, but also a 1973 album recorded in Sweden and a 1974 appearance at the Tennessee State Prison. What makes the San Quentin album unique, though, is the Grammy-winning live cut of Shel Silverstein's A Boy Named Sue, the new addition to Cash's repertoire, and an unlikely crossover hit on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Despite his gruff exterior, Cash always found a way to share his faith through music. His trip to San Quentin reflects this. Only Lewis, the Million Dollar Quartet itself, featuring Cash Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley, cut finer gospel songs in the name of country music and rock and roll than Cash and his 1969 supporting cast. And the answer to our second question, who was the first woman ever inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Was that Janis Joplin, Diana Ross, Aretha Franklin, or Madonna? Correct answer, answer C, Aretha Franklin. As noted in an 11/16/2009 History.com article, in 1986, the Rock and Roll of Hall of Fame announced its first group of inductees, Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, Elvis Presley, Fats Domino, James Brown, Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, and the Everly Brothers. Since then, the Hall has added a new class of inductees each year, expanding by January 2008 to 209 honorees in four categories: performers, non-performers, sidemen, and lifetime achievers. The category in which the Hall is most conspicuously lacking, however, is women. Fewer than 100 female performers have been added since the Hall admitted its first woman, Aretha Franklin, on January the 3rd, 1987. So let's close out today's program with some overdue RESPECT for women everywhere. Run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.